Welcome to Keep Your Torch Lit podcast. I'm Sam.
I'm Sarah.
And it looks like Jack is not a part of Leia's list because apparently only Leia's list is here to do the recap this week. So
yeah,
it's unfortunate.
Yeah, you know, it's really unfortunate he wasn't on the list, but you know, he's on my list, so at least that's something.
Jack's on Sarah's list. That's a big deal. You know who's not on Leia's list?
Not a big of a deal as Leia's list, though. So still sucks for him.
Leia's list seems to be a pretty big deal in this episode. Like, what do you think about that strategy?
It seemed like it wasn't really a strategy, but then she discovered that it was, and then she just kind of like went for it. Like, I feel like off the bat, it wasn't meant to be a strategy, but maybe it was. I don't know. It's just the fact that everyone started talking about it that like made it a strategy.
Yeah.
Because like if no one cared, then like it wouldn't matter. But everyone ended up caring.
Do you think this is like good gameplay by Leia?
I mean, the fact that it's caught on and she's like using it to her advantage. Yeah. But it's like for the people who aren't on it, it's like they probably wouldn't want to work with her as much.
Yeah. Like our poor friend Kevin, not on Leia's list and gets the boot tonight.
I mean, yeah, it's working so far. I guess Lucy was on her list.
Maybe, yeah.
But most of like the people are still there, you know, the ones who are on her list.
That's true. I mean, I don't know if she really like started doing it until later, but I feel like Will definitely would have been on the list if he hadn't been voted off. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff to talk about in this episode. Even though it was kind of, I guess, on paper, sort of a straightforward, like, majority sticks together kind of vote. But, like, I don't know. What was your overall impression of the episode?
This was the first episode where I, like, kind of from the previously on, figured who was going home. And, like, at first I was like, because, I mean, I guess they highlighted the whole Bailey-Kevin thing. I didn't think Bailey was going home, so I was like, it's probably a Kevin boot. But then usually the edit, like, confuses us a little bit. But even then, I was like, no, it's pretty straightforward Kevin this time. So I think this was, like, a relatively straightforward episode.
Yeah.
But it still happened to be, like, pretty long. Because I guess there was still a lot going on. But...
yeah, I mean, I guess we saw a lot of, like, the dynamics of the group of seven. This kind of, like, plan that was trying to get me voted off that did not succeed. I guess there was some other stuff going on. But, yeah, I mean, Kevin, it's funny because I remember, like, in the pre-merge, I would ask, like, who you and Jack thought was going home. And, like, many weeks you're like, how is Kevin still here? Like, I expect
Kevin
to be going home.
I really thought he was pre-merge.
Yeah. No, it's funny because, like, even this week, I mean, the group didn't necessarily even really want Kevin to go home. Like, a big reason why he got so many votes is because we were trying to, like, flush out an idol that he could potentially have. There's a lot of suspicion he still had it, and then he just, like, didn't have it. And I was like, well, okay, I guess, like, Kevin went home now. But it wasn't necessarily, like, too much, like, oh, we need Kevin out.
Did anyone actually believe he had an idol, though? Or was it more so like, that's a good reason, so we'll just, like, stick with this reason?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know necessarily who I really thought had the idol. I had basically no idea. I definitely did. A part of me did think that Kevin could have it. Like, okay. I was at least, like, 30 to 40%. Like, oh, it could be Kevin. Just because.
But, like, wouldn't he have played it earlier?
I don't know. Like, this Kevin, like, it's a wild card. Maybe not. Like, when would he have played it?
I guess feel like there's a couple weeks.
The Jackson week, maybe, or the week Will went home. But I was thinking, like, okay, well, maybe Kevin didn't give his idol to Jackson because he wanted to save it for himself. Like,
yeah,
you know, there's no way to really know. But, you know, obviously it's either Emily or Andrew who has it for real. And they were keeping it.
We still haven't found out. I feel like this is like a first episode thing that we still haven't found out.
It's kind of wild. It's gone. Yeah. It's going deep into the season. We're not like going to be episode 10. Still don't know.
I'm really invested. I have high hopes for this idol. Like, it better do something crazy or I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah. Who do you, do you know who has it? Or, like, who do you suspect has it?
I don't
it?
Remember
you
who know? Has it. I don't know. Because I, was Andrew's the one that's, like, really long?
Yeah.
And then Emily's the one that was kind of, like.
Like a turtle with a.
Yeah, yeah. There's, like, a weird charm on it.
Yeah.
I actually have, I genuinely have no clue. Because they both look fake to me. Like, to be honest.
See, that's the theory why Kevin could have had it. Is, like, they both look fake. But he just didn't have it. So,
yeah, sad for him.
It is kind of funny that, like, Andrew's convinced that it's fake, Emily is convinced that it's real, and it's like, we don't know, like, either, you know, they're both correct or they're both incorrect,
right?
So, I don't know, it's kind of funny. We'll see, we'll see. Maybe, hopefully, it'll be a big move or something like that.
Mm-hmm. It better be,
yeah. It is also funny that, like, the two of them are tied together because, like, they're the two Sabu Sabu people.
Oh,
the only,
yeah.
Only season three people that are left.
I didn't think about that. I forgot they were both on Sabu Sabu.
Yeah. Yeah. All the Tormenta, like, got out in a row, like, in this All-Stars. Literally, like, well, it's funny that pattern of, like, all Tormentas, was it what? Basically, well, Dylan, well, it was Dylan, then it was Emily.
No, Dylan's Will, not Tormenta. Aaron,
and Jesse. That's
Dylan's
true.
Not and Jesse's
he was
not
season three, though. There was, like, all five season three people in a row, and then four of them were all Tormenta.
Oh, wait. Jesse was Tormenta. Yeah. Dylan was on the black one.
Yeah. Terfiti.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all season two made the jury, and then so far, now only season two is on the jury.
So weird. But only I Cerulean. Don't see any, like, season alliances necessarily going on. I think that, like, the friendships outside the game matter more than what season. Like, surprisingly, there's been no, like, season versus season face-off.
Yeah. Well, I remember people being, like, kind of paranoid that season two was working together when, like, basically half of the jury and, like, merge was season two. It was, like, mm-hmm. 6 out of 13. But then, like, you know, very clearly we weren't on the same page, you know, between, right. You know, me, Lucy, and Nick, and Kevin and Bailey and all these people all voted for each other. So, but it is funny that the jury is all Cerulean right now.
Oh yeah, that's hilarious. Dang.
Yeah. Yeah, three out in a row, three season two.
Wait, has any Ohana? Is it only you and Bree from Ohana?
Yeah, it's just me and Bree from Ohana.
Oh, okay, okay. We're Ohana, both stay strong.
Yeah, Ohana's strong. That was, like, what I was telling her in that one, like, that one time, the first time that we met. And I was like, oh, like, please don't vote off me. Please don't vote off Lucy. Like, we got to stay Ohana strong. So, like, me and Bree had, like, a pretty good alliance. And, like, I think you saw a little bit more of it this episode. Like, the two of us were meeting a lot and kind of, like, Cooper and Leia. It's funny because, like, we both had similar feelings about Cooper and Leia, and, like,
yeah,
you kind of saw us, like, shit talking a little bit the last few episodes about Leia searching Cooper's room and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Bree's really funny. I mean, she's a really funny person to talk to.
Yeah.
But so Nick goes home. There's, like, kind of the aftermath of that tribal council, and then Adam is telling everybody about, like, the Apollo thing and how Nick had the idol.
Yeah, and you actually were kind of sus of him at this point because he didn't tell you anything about this.
Yeah.
And, like, as a close ally, like, usually there's somebody you tell, like, pretty much everything to, or at least, like, if you have a number one. So, like, I guess you kind of have some doubt for Adam now.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that it was the right move from Adam's point of view?
To what? To not tell you or to be spilling everything after?
I mean, either one, I guess.
Well, I think he kind of saw this going differently. Like, maybe he wanted to get the idol himself and just, like, not have anyone know. I think that would be the right move. I wouldn't, if I had an idol, I probably wouldn't tell anyone. So it
yeah.
just didn't really work out the way he thought it would, probably.
You know, and like in retrospect, it especially knowing how the idol ended up working out, that you had to say a specific word at tribal council. Like, I totally understand why he didn't tell me, because it's like, you kind of want to minimize the amount of people that know what like Apollo is. But at the time I was super sus, because I was like, how does like Nick know more about this idol than I do? Like, and I was like, oh, I have the potential of like going home if Nick plays an idol. Like, I feel like that's a piece of information I would have wanted to know. But I can't really blame him though, because it's like what, like only one day that he didn't tell me about it. And it's like, it's because if I would have known about it, I could have said Apollo. So
yeah, it's also understand. Like, he does want to set his game apart from you at some point.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that's what I was like noticing in the moment of like, you know, plus like in the last like few weeks, Ab and I kind of not completely been the same page, because previously to this, we were both like worried that like each other could have been voted off. So it was sort of like, we were trying to protect each other. You know, I was trying to get the vote onto Kevin. He was trying to get the vote onto Nick. But at the same time, we kind of had backup plans of like throwing each other under the bus. That way, if like the majority didn't flip, like, you know, I was hoping it would be Adam instead of me.
Right.
Adam was hoping it'd be me instead of him. So there's also all this like talk where we were both kind of throwing each other under the bus and then like hearing things about it. So like, definitely some mistrust. And obviously Adam, he wants to set this game apart. I was hearing about that and I was worried that, oh, maybe Adam will flip on me. So
yeah,
definitely some mistrust.
Oh, for sure. Which is always sad, because like in the beginning, you always just think you're just going to like be on the same page for a while. And then like when you're not, it's just like, even though you know it's probably going to happen at some point, it's just sad.
Yeah, it's really tough to like be to completely trust your ally for 100% of the game. You know, there's always going to be moments where you don't trust each other, and I guess the question is whether like you get over that or whether it gets worse. So I don't know, we'll see how it builds, but yes, definitely some rocky. The thing is too, like at this time though, I still did trust Adam more than most of the people in the game, because like Cooper and Bailey I clearly didn't completely trust.
Yeah.
You know, Megan, obviously we had some issues in this episode, so it's really tough to trust anybody 100%. It's just how it is.
Yeah, makes sense. Oh, something interesting I noticed that kind of ties into this is that AJ was really working on increasing his threat level this week.
Yeah,
because you know how like you and Cooper are like trying to decrease your threat level throughout this game, AJ's at the point where it's like he wants to have street cred. Like if he makes it to the end, he wants to like have a chance to win. So you kind of see like the dynamic of him actually trying to like increase his threat level a little bit by like, I forgot what meeting it was, but he was trying to just like prove that he was like actually doing stuff, or like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just thought that was interesting.
It is interesting, because like, I think he deserves a lot of credit for, you know, finding the idol and playing the idol and then like flipping the merge vote. So like, I feel like at the time, and even watching him back, like it's funny, because I didn't really view it the same way at all, as it feels like everyone else is kind of saying like, oh, like Adam is seen as whatever Sam, like in Sam's pocket or like a pawn. And that's how Adam was viewing himself and like kind of upset about it. But I was like, in my opinion, I was like, well, me and Adam have voted together and played a lot of this game together, except for like Adam basically saved my ass at the Megan, at the Dylan tribal, when he like got Megan to flip, and then he found the idol, played it on Lucy, and then got the vote switch at the merge. And I couldn't claim necessarily any of those moves. So like, in my opinion, I was like, I was kind of worried. Like, I feel like Adam has a little better resume than I do. So it's like, kind of weird. It's funny that we were both kind of like intimidated by each other, whereas like, I guess perception can be reality, but I didn't necessarily agree with the perception that other people had, that like, oh, like, you know, Sam's more connected, Sam's doing more than Adam is, because like, well, like Adam has made some moves though. Like how is he not getting credit for winning the challenge single-handedly by shaving his head and getting a tattoo and then flipping the vote? Like, I didn't do those things.
That's the hard part about a returnee season. Like, your past seasons reputations does just kind of like follow you a little bit.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Whether or not it's like deserved. I mean, maybe for Kevin, I guess it probably was deserved, but like, I don't know. From some people, it kind of like haunts them. Like, remember Ben in season 4, how like he could never really shake off the Ben bomb, even though he was clearly trying to.
Yeah, like I feel like if I played again, the snake reputation would definitely be a thing I'd have to factor in. Like, even if I didn't want to play the same type of game, people would still probably see me as a snake, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Which, like, in that point, it's like, you know, if that's already the reputation you have, it kind of almost, like, forces you sometimes to play a certain way. Like, do you think that you would lean into it, or you would, like, just try really hard to, like, change people's perceptions?
I think if I were to play again, I would play a slightly different game. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we'll just have to... I don't want to say too much because I don't want to give away anything that may or may not come in the future.
Yeah.
That's all I gotta say.
I don't know. Maybe All-Stars 3, whatever, come back to campus, you know, and with Tom and Dale and all those people. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it is definitely a thing, like the perception stuff. And
yeah.
Tom was another person that was kind of a victim of that. So immunity challenge.
Okay, yeah, immunity challenge. Yeah, what the heck was that? Was it actually that short? So the immunity challenge was the one where you have to like hold the thing with the cup on it and you have to like knock other people's cups off. The way it was produced was like made it seem like it lasted like 2 seconds.
That's basically what happened. It did last like 2 seconds. So it was like kind of it was free for all. So like I don't know. That's the thing. People were all like simultaneously knocking each other's cups off. So it just didn't last that long. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was kind of weird too. Like you saw in the episode, like I knocked off Andrew's, but then he basically like dove and like torpedoed mine as like his was in the air before it hit the ground. Which I was like, oh, like that, you know, that shouldn't count. Right. But then like, the person was like, no, like that counts. Like you're out too. And it was like by that logic, like I remember Ian was there, like vouched for me. He was like, oh, that doesn't make any sense because by that logic, why wouldn't every single person do that as soon as their cup was knocked off? Like just torpedo the other person. Because in like the normal 1v1, you know, it's a little bit different where you knock someone's off, then you're just trying to like make theirs hit the ground first. But it's like if yours is knocked off, like you're just out versus like, I mean, I don't know. Anyway, it is what it was, but like Karsh did get me out, but like it was kind of, I feel like the setup of the challenge like didn't really make a ton of sense. And it just kind of feels like a bunch of chaos happened. And then like Emily and Bailey's both got knocked off at the same time. And like, I don't know, one of them just got declared the winner and didn't even seem clear who actually won.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
I mean, if you watch the episode, like you'll see like both of their cups hit at about the same time. Like it wasn't really clear who won. They're just like, oh, like Bailey wins. I was like, okay, sure, whatever, Bailey wins.
Dang, I'd be mad if I was Emily.
I mean, I think they did slow-mo. They like looked at the camera frame by frame, whatever. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, I remember feeling like, oh, like, okay, that's it. Like that challenge lasted like 5 minutes. Like that was sort of silly.
There's always that one challenge that just like ends so fast.
Yeah. Like that season 3 one where they had to run around the track.
And yeah, it was like 2 seconds.
They all had to get up at like 6 a.m. It was so dumb.
And wear
dumb
onesies.
Yeah, the onesies. That was so silly.
Oh, we have to declare that Cooper is again the fashion icon of the episode because he was in a freaking suit for most of the episode.
True.
I think it's hilarious that he's holding this record when his normal wardrobe is just all Michigan attire, but somehow he's pulled out the fashion icon 2 episodes in a row.
Wait, what did he win it for last time?
The yellow glasses.
Oh, you're right. Our boy's growing up. Our boy Cooper is advancing in his style right before our eyes.
Did he get that interview that he was in New York for? Is that what he got? What he's currently working?
That's a good question. I want to say yes. I want to say that like interview was for the job he currently has.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah, I mean, it's funny, like this is senior year for a lot of us. So like we were like doing a ton of interviews like in the middle of Survivor. And I remember feeling like, oh wow, like this kind of sucks. Like I don't have enough time to apply for jobs and I graduate in like a few months because I'm just too busy playing Survivor. But Cooper found the time to fit it in, so good for him. And won a fashion icon award out of it. That's like, that's really the biggest thing out of that. The interview, the job, you know, that's fine, but it's all about the fashion icon award.
Yeah, he was thinking ahead. He knew he would get it.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. He was really planning like years in advance here.
What else is the main stuff this episode? I remember the High School Musical Stick to the Status Quo. We're getting so many throwback songs.
That was great. What was that song used for? What was like the context?
I don't remember. I don't know. Wasn't it just like to tell people to stick to the plan?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it seems like that's pretty much what happened.
Yeah.
But I mean, a part of me though was thinking ahead, like, okay, obviously I don't trust Cooper and Bailey. I've been saying it like every episode. I was trying to get Cooper out a few episodes ago. And so I'm thinking like, well, I'm going to try and get a little bit ahead of this and try and get Megan on my side. This was a big part of the episode here.
Oh yeah. And she didn't buy it. She literally immediately Megan missiled you.
She did.
And like threw you under the bus.
Yeah.
Didn't you tell her that like you didn't actually trust Bailey and Cooper that much?
Or, yeah, like, I basically said like they have too much power.
Yeah.
Like, we need to weaken them. Like I told her like I want to get Bailey out. Like we should work together. Stuff like that. I mean, I came into that conversation basically like feeling like as much as people keep saying and stuff like, oh, like it doesn't seem like Sam's ever, you know, gonna forgive Megan, ever gonna get past the stuff Megan did. It's like I very much wanted to, and I recognized that I had to in order to like do well in the game. Cause you can't just like hold a grudge for the entire game. You need to be able to be flexible and work with different people. And so that's what I was trying to do. Like, okay, Megan, like we've had our history, you know, but it's fine. You know, let's move past it. And I want, let's work together. I think this will mutually benefit us because we both don't, you know, we're both threatened by Bailey. We both will benefit by like being against Bailey. We should team up.
She's not ready though. She's not past it.
Yeah, I guess not. I mean, I think she just didn't trust me. And to be honest, like I didn't necessarily give her a solid plan. You know, I didn't trust her enough to do that. So why not? It's why I really was like, let's just hang tight for another vote. I promise it's not you. Like, and I just want to know that I can trust you. And then like, if, you know, after the vote, you know, maybe we can like make a more concrete plan on what to do. I didn't want to give her any like incriminating evidence that she could use against me. And she still found some. So
why do you think she trusts Cooper more than you?
I mean, Cooper and her don't necessarily have like any baggage in the game.
Right.
That makes sense. True.
But I feel like they also don't know each other as well.
Yeah, but it doesn't necessarily seem like people, as much as like the talk of this episode is like, oh, people are going to work with who they're closer to and, you know, whatever, friends alliance. It isn't necessarily the way the game has been playing out. I mean, just because you're closer friends with someone doesn't mean you'll work together. Because sometimes it's even like worse, like you might be closer, but if you're against each other, you know, the feelings are more intense versus a blank slate might be someone that you want to work with. So like,
yeah,
you know, me and Bailey were tight. Me and Cooper were tight, but we didn't trust each other. Me and Arian, obviously, weren't on the same page. Me and Megan. So I don't know. I can see where Megan was coming from. Like I didn't really give her much reason to trust me. And, you know, there's a chance that by spilling this information, she could have potentially gotten me voted off, which would have been better for her.
Yeah. That's true. Wait, did she want you out this week?
I mean, that's what the plan was. Yeah. Basically, this information was spread to Kevin and Bailey, and the plan was to try to get Kevin and Bailey to flip and vote me out, along with Megan, Andrew, and Kevin. And Kevin kind of gets Emily B on his side. Like, he basically like goes to her and like trashes on her game a ton. And as much as you, we'll starting with that, like, what do you think about Kevin going Emily B and strategy being like, you need to flip because you suck?
I don't think that's ever a good approach because people are going to be defensive. Like, if anyone's told that their survivor game sucks, they're going to be defensive, especially because people now are going to be on the jury. So it's like, wait, why don't you think I deserve to win? Like, I'd be trying to flip them to think otherwise. So I don't think that's a good approach. I think you should always appeal to people's egos.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can understand how in this case, like, Kevin's pitch is that Emily needs to do more in order to win. Like, she needs to make some moves. It doesn't necessarily...
But don't frame it that way. Like, get her to come to that conclusion herself.
I mean, yeah. You also don't need to just, like, insult her to her face because then she's just not going to want to work with you. Yeah, like, at the voting booth, she's like, wow, Kevin, like, you try to say I suck at the game, but, like, looks like you're getting voted out and I'm not. You know, like,
anyone would feel the same way. Like, yeah. Like, people want to work with others, with people who respect them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it didn't, I guess, end up working, but a part of it ended up kind of working because Emily does, like, come to Bailey, like, hey, like, maybe we should do this move. And then Bailey basically, like, doesn't want to.
Bailey is, I saw somebody saying, like, she can be kind of chaotic in the game, but for some reason, she does end up calling a lot of the shots. And, like, nobody's thought about targeting her ever, really.
Yeah. I mean, I tried to for about 5 seconds, and then it instantly got leaked to her. So she has a powerful information stream leading to her because of all these conversations in passing.
I know. And she has immunity this week. Like,
That's true. And Bailey's in a good spot. I mean, that's basically what I was saying to Meg. Like, my pitch was, like, Bailey is the most powerful person in the entire game. Like, she created an 8-person alliance, and then she flipped on it with a 7-person alliance, and then she won immunity, and now she's like the swing vote and a potential vote to get me out. Like, she pretty much is like just controlling the game at this point.
And that's what we were saying last. That's what we were saying, I think, last episode. Like, this is why she's able to play so chaotically, because no matter what, it still ends up going her way.
Yeah, exactly.
So she's like, doesn't have to be as careful.
No, like, she has a lot of routes that Bailey can take and go really far. I mean, the biggest downside is, like, she does have a target on her back, but she seems to have a lot of people that, like, also have her back.
Well, does she have a target on her back? I feel like you and Cooper have, like, bigger targets.
I mean, it seems like Kevin is throwing the three of at the tribal council. Kevin threw the three of our names out and basically said, like, Kevin, like, Bailey, Cooper, Sam, like, those are the people that, you know, are running the game and you guys need to get them out. So she is being kind of named publicly at this point. Mm-hmm. People are aware that she's formed these alliances. And even Cooper, he's saying his strategy is like, oh, Bailey is kind of a shield for me at this point.
That's true.
But and Emily is saying that she wants her big move to be getting Bailey out with her idol.
Okay. Why Bailey over you and Cooper?
Because Emily seems to view, like, kind of similar to how Adam's talking about, like, oh, people see me as, like, Sam's sidekick. Emily feels the same way about Bailey. And so she's like, oh, well, I need to get Bailey out then using my idol. And she kind of assumes, like, oh, like, Sam and Cooper will go out anyways. Like, that'll just happen. But Bailey is someone that, like, I specifically want to do myself.
Moral of the story is, watch out for your sidekick, because they will come at you once they need recognition.
Yeah. I mean, that's why it's tough, because in these, like, alliances, it's very difficult for both people to feel like they're at completely uneven ground. And, you know, that's the important thing. I feel like people, for an alliance to work, everyone needs to feel like they're on pretty even ground. They have a pretty even say, like, they're both, like, kind of equally respected, and it's, you can't control other people's perceptions in the game. Because Emily, it's like, you know, how there isn't a ton of things in her game you can necessarily point to, be like, oh, that was really bad.
Yeah.
Like, she's been playing a pretty good game. She's in a pretty good spot. She's pretty well liked. maybe she's not as respected by like someone like Kevin, but I mean, what do you think about Emily's game?
I mean, I think she hasn't ever been targeted. And that's, you know, the name of the game right now. I think towards the end, she'll have to do what AJ's doing and try to increase her threat level a little bit, but she's already thinking about it. Like she has like big moves planned and it's all about timing because you don't want to make them too early.
It's true. It definitely is about the timing. Don't want to make them too early. And you also don't want to wait too long. So it's like,
yeah,
it's tough, but I don't know who else have we not talked about yet. Well, do you think that Megan like made the correct choice in like throwing me under the bus?
I don't necessarily know if throwing you under the bus like raised her up in Cooper's list, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas like if she stuck with you, I feel like she would have gone up on your list. Is that true?
I definitely was very willing to get more allies on my side because I didn't have that many people I trusted super well. Leia, Bree, Adam, basically. And then I was like, okay, well, I need some more people, you know?
Exactly. I don't know if it was the right move. But yeah, I understand if she thinks it'll get you out that week, then it makes sense. Which I guess she thought there was potential for.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm not sure, like, if that was how much that was her intention. Because if it was, like, why not just go to Bailey directly? You know, and prove with the text messages. Cause like I was able to like, I just told Bailey they were fake and that was kind of like where it ended. But
I could see her just wanting to kind of create chaos amongst the people who are like well-connected and just like sliding by that way.
Yeah.
Because there's very little she's able to do in her position right now.
I know.
With like how socially connected the rest of y'all are. She's kind of like handicapped there.
Yeah, I can't blame her too much. Like it's also, you know, too early to tell whether it was a good or a bad move. But I mean, I honestly did want to work with her, but I can understand of why she didn't believe me or why she just didn't want to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what other options does she have? She's on the bottom, she wants to like make something happen. And she does feel pretty hopeless. Like, you know, what's your take on this kind of discussion revolving around like the friends and like the social group that's in power and
that she got mad about.
Yeah. Does it feel to people on the bottom like, you know, they don't really have a chance, or maybe it was like predetermined and they're, you know, they're just at a big disadvantage.
I can see her frustration because like from her point of view, it's like this goes beyond the game, but at the same time, there's people like AJ, who was on her same season, who I think maybe has played a little bit of a better social game.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, with All-Stars, like we were talking about, the pre-gaming is part of the game. Like, I know you can either make it a rule that you're not allowed to pregame, which it didn't happen. And because that wasn't a rule, it just is part of the game. So like she could have, and she actually did put effort into pregaming when it came to like hiding her whole relationship with Jackson. That was like her pregaming.
Yeah.
But maybe she could have spent some more time building more relationships too, if she wanted to. But I don't know. I understand the frustration though. I do.
Yeah, I definitely do. I mean, to be fair, me and Adam didn't pregame with each other at all. Like our first conversation.
No, exactly. Yeah.
First week. Like, you know, it's like there's one thing about, I feel like there's a difference between like pregaming, like, oh, this alliance is like predetermined, you know, months ahead. Like, oh, we're all going to work together versus like.
No, I don't think there's any of that at all. Yeah.
I mean, no, like I was trying to get Cooper out.
Exactly. You
know, they were trying to get me out. And this alliance formed because of, you know, Bailey feeling betrayed by Sarah and Nick and like, you know, flipping against them. But I definitely can understand though, like there is an advantage just by being closer friends and having more connections because you have like more options of people to work with. Or like the biggest thing I think is like you know, being on production for a while, like I had an idea of like what everybody's games were like, or like who's friends with who, or who doesn't like who. And like it, you know, it even just like it gives you like a reputation that like, oh, you're a bigger threat. And then that's the reason why people might perceive me as a bigger threat than Adam, despite Adam making a lot of moves. So like, I definitely can see how, you know, from Megan's perspective, it does feel like she's starting out at a disadvantage. And I recognize that. That's why I was saying in the episode that like, this is definitely true. I did start out with an advantage by having more relationships. But at the same time, you know, for one, that also gives a bigger target as a result.
No, exactly. It's like a balance.
It's a balance. And also like Survivor, inherently, it's just not a fair game. That's not saying that it's right, but it's not. Even in a returning season, it's impossible for every single person to start on an equal ground because everyone's relationships with each other are different. Like somebody like that has a lot of enemies is going to start off at a tougher spot than someone that doesn't. Someone that has more friends will start at a better spot. Someone that's like been around longer, someone that's been a less threat in their previous season. Like there's a lot of factors that lead into like, you know, whether someone has an advantage or disadvantage coming into the game relative to everybody else.
Well, yeah, that's why Survivor is like really about adapting. And yeah, it still is a little bit luck for sure.
Oh, that's definitely for
sure. But you have to be able to adapt to whatever situation you're put in.
You do, but I could see how if you were like have less connections, it's almost like you have like less room for error, you know?
Okay, like, but like if you have less connections, like put more time during the season. Yeah. To like build up those friendships.
That's true. There's a lot of friendships in the season that like were formed during just the course of the season.
Exactly.
Like me and Adam. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I feel like I feel pretty similarly these days as I did back then. But I also like, you know, I empathize with what Megan's saying. And the way the episodes seem to be like, oh, there's like Sam's side and Megan's side, or Sam's point of view. And it's like, I feel like, I don't know. I can definitely understand what she's saying too. I still do. You know, it's both. I feel like she has very valid points.
I understand where she's coming from. I understand the frustration. I don't know. I guess I don't know how it was with her during the game, but like,
yeah.
I feel like a lot of her meetings are her begging like the other person instead of actually building up that relationship. But I guess like where she is in the game, she kind of has to sometimes just do that.
Yeah. I mean, also with Megan specifically, she did get kind of screwed by the production leak. I mean, I don't think that screwed her game, but it definitely like made her play differently than she probably would have otherwise, you know, and made her more paranoid. So that also sucks.
Yeah.
That she had to deal with that. Someone like Sarah, you know, or Kevin, like they definitely did make decisions in the game that, you know, ended up impacting them later. Like Kevin turning on Will, or like Sarah, you know, betraying Bailey. It does seem like those are pretty clearly like those definitely had consequences that led to their position right now. And it's like, you know, Kevin's case got him voted off. Sarah's case, we'll see what she can do with it. Same with Megan. But I don't know. There's like a bunch of factors that lead to everything. And it's like really hard to pinpoint is, oh, 100% because of this.
Yeah. Should I eulogize Kevin?
Yeah. I mean, the only other thing I can remember in this from this is like kind of like Kevin and Bailey. It feels like a kind of like a final closing arc on Kevin and Bailey's, whole duo. Like you get this like emotional scene of the two of them before tribal, kind of talking about their relationship. And it's funny because I'm sure you remember very clearly their duo in season two when we were on a tribe with them.
Yeah, I remember at the beginning, Bailey was like, I'd be stupid to work with Kevin. But at the end there, they had like a sweet moment where like Bailey was kind of talking about more so their friendship, like outside the game, and how she like knows different sides of Kevin. So I'm glad they didn't go out this season with like a super toxic, you know,
Yeah.
Like, sour end to the relationship.
Yeah.
Although it was kind of sour on Kevin's side a little bit. But I'm sure he's over it.
It did feel more of like, I don't know, just Kevin being silly than it felt like mean-spirited. I feel like in the moment, like, we were all laughing. It wasn't like seen as, you know, Kevin being like really mean. Yeah. Like, him voting for Bailey was like just like pretty funny. Like, we all thought it was hilarious.
He did spill a lot of tea at Tribal, I feel like.
Yeah, Kevin had he was like dressed up in a suit as well, like another potential fashion icon.
True. It's just like
shared with Cooper.
It's just the best dressed episode.
It's kind of funny, also, like, a side note, like, it seems like originally it seemed like last episode the plan was like, oh, we'll vote off Nick and we'll vote off Sarah. But then, like, Cooper kind of like decides, like, oh, I think I want to like see if we can push the votes on to Kevin instead of Sarah. But like, Sarah is like, has this very once I like, I need Cooper out. Like, Cooper screwed me again. Like, days since Cooper screwed me, like, back down to zero. And Cooper is kind of nonchalantly like, oh, like, I don't know. What if we get out Kevin this time?
I mean, yeah. Sarah continues to be screwed by Cooper, but still somehow wants to work with him to some extent.
I mean, do you think that it's like, why does Bailey vote off Kevin here? Like, if we're saying Bailey has all the power in the game and she's like, oh, I really like feel sad to vote off Kevin. I really like Kevin. She really like hates Sarah. Like, you know, why isn't she pushing harder for Sarah to go home?
Because I feel like it was easier to get people on board for Kevin. Because, like, everyone thought he had the idol.
Yeah. The stuff he did have, those rumors never left. Poor Kevin. Yeah. So he had one idol, now, like, the rest of the All-Stars, it's like, there's always, like, this rumor, kind of like this cloud above his head.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just easier to just kind of go with what's happening instead of trying to, like, start a whole new plan. But
it kind of felt like this week, like, a lot of people just didn't really care that much who went home out of the people on the bottom. Like,
people are tired.
Yeah, I know. Cooper obviously doesn't want Andrew to go, but it seems kind of like there's like, oh, okay, whatever. I guess Sarah or Kevin or Megan or you know.
Mm-hmm.
Eulogy for Kevin.
Kevin. I was iconic Survivor Michigan character from day one throughout both the seasons. Always there to cause chaos. You know it's going to be, I don't know. You just know that he's going to be the wild card of the situation, and you always need the wild card.
Yeah. Kevin's always going to be the wild card for sure. I mean, he's one of the most entertaining, like, people that's ever been in the show. One of the most memorable, insane, like, crazy villain in season 2. Somehow, like, upstaged that an even bigger villain in All-Stars with, like, the Will thing. I mean, I feel like Kevin said it best in the interview that it seems like he's playing a character more than he's trying to win the game. I mean, it's hard to say exactly what his reasoning is for a lot of his decisions because they don't always make the most sense. But
yeah,
Kevin, I mean, you need people like that. You need to have some wild cards. Otherwise, it's going to be too boring. You know, you don't, everyone can't be a game bot.
Yeah, if everyone plays logically and perfectly, then it's boring.
Exactly.
You need people who are like, I have no idea what they're going to do. They might completely blow up the plan. And that's what makes it exciting.
It does, but at the same time, it makes it very hard to work with Kevin. Because you don't know what he's going to do. And that's, you know, if Kevin really wanted to win the game, I do think that he probably should not have betrayed Will the way he did.
Yeah.
Because Will, it's like, as much as Kevin this episode is kind of complaining about Leia's list and the Friends Alliance, like, I kind of feel like Will would have, I mean, I don't know, Will was tight with Leia, I guess, but I also kind of feel like Will could have been someone that would be working with Kevin and maybe, you know, kind of wanted me and Cooper out the same way that Kevin did and maybe would have had aligned interests. So,
right,
you know, it's hard to say what would have happened if he kept Will in the game. And I understand, well, I guess he wanted to work with Megan and Odawa and everything, but I do feel like Kevin's biggest, the kind of thing that led to him going home was just the fact that people didn't trust him. You know, he's too much, so much of a wild card that at a certain point, like, you know, you don't really want to keep that person in the games. You don't know if you can ever trust them.
Yeah. And that's kind of what happened both times.
Yeah. But hell of a player, and he went out with a bang, you know. Voted for somebody who's immune. So, yeah. Hope to see it. And he voted for an ally. He votes for an ally every time. Cooper, that's what Cooper was saying. And he goes out voting for his number one ally. It's kind of perfect.
Love it.
All right. So should we rank Kevin in the 11th place pantheon?
Yes. Who else is there? Is it Bree? So,
yeah. Well, no.
No, Bree's so, 10.
In fourth place, we have Chidi.
Oh, Chidi. Yeah,
Chidi. Third place, we have Ben from season 3. In second place, we have Aliza from season 4.
Oh.
And in first place, we have Matthew from season 1.
Whoa. Okay. So like
all the season 4 returnees and then Chidi.
Interesting. Matthew above Aliza, huh?
Aliza season 4, yeah, versus Matthew season 1.
Oh, I was thinking Aliza season 3. Okay, this makes more sense. Okay.
This is a pretty good list of people, honestly.
I think he has to go below Aliza. But what happened to Aliza season 4 again?
So she was in that alliance with Tokidoki, and she had an idol. And then she got blindsided with the idol in her pocket by Jackson and Dale. So, yeah, I mean, I guess, like, what do you think about Kevin versus Chidi? Are we going to put Kevin above?
Above Chidi. Above Chidi for sure. Yeah.
Kevin at least was able to, you know, he pulled off a big move. He got Will out. Whether or not it's a good or bad move, like, he made a big move. You know, Chidi didn't do that. So, versus Aliza, though. I mean, Aliza season 4, like, she was in a good... I feel like if Aliza would have made it to the merge, she was, like, set up so well. Because she had, like, all the girls in Tokidoki loved her. And then even, like, El Norte would have wanted to work with her. Like, Megan and Jack and, I don't know. So, like, maybe Katie. I don't know. But... I feel like Aliza had a lot of options. If she made it to merge, she got like sniped because Jackson and Dale like realized it, and they had like a perfect opportunity to make a move on her with Katie.
Yeah. So, like,
I feel like she also got screwed by like the returnee alliance getting leaked to Tokidoki, and then like Dale and Jackson getting suspicious of her. But it's like, what, I don't know, what really did she do wrong in season 4? I guess she didn't play the idol. I guess she trusted Jackson and Dale too much. It's like not that bad.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Kevin made the merge.
That's true.
So like, Aliza had the idol and didn't play it. Kevin needed an idol but didn't have it.
Yeah. She did find the idol. Kevin, I want to say Kevin only went to 2 tribal councils, right? The one where he voted off Will.
Oh, really?
Did he go to another one?
Was he on Sangria?
So he won all the challenges. Then they finally lost. And they voted Will out. And then, did he only go to 1 tribal council in the pre-merge?
Maybe, yeah.
He didn't go to the combined one either. So I want to say Kevin only survived 1 tribal council, I guess.
Oh, yeah, because it's like Jackson. He was on Jackson's tribes.
Yeah.
And Jackson got voted off at his... Yeah. It's hard for me to put him above Aliza for some reason.
It definitely, yeah, I kind of agree. Like, it's hard to put him above Aliza. He did make it further than he did last time. He survived. Mm-hmm. He won. I don't know. He like voted off. He had a big move, but like, Aliza was set up really well. I feel like it's very difficult for Kevin to win All Stars.
Mm-hmm.
So she would have survived this tribal council, but I feel like if Aliza would have survived the one that she was in,
no, exactly,
would have had a good chance at winning season 4.
Exactly. Dale's the line was just so like dominant in season four.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would put him above Chidi, below Eliza.
I agree with that. All right. So we have our new ranking of fifth place. The star with the paper plate herself, Chidi. In fourth place, we have Heaven, season five. Then we have in third place, Ben. Oh, wait. Oh, I forgot Ben. How do we forget Ben from season three? So Ben from season three is below Eliza. So where does Kevin rank next to season three Ben?
Well, season three Ben was messy. But yes, Kevin's also messy.
They're both very messy. And they also both betrayed Will.
Yeah. And then they both dropped bombs on their way out, kind of. Ben's was more intense, though.
I mean, I guess, like, I don't know. What do you think?
I still think Ben had a chance of going further if certain things weren't as beefy in that season.
Yeah. I agree. And Ben also, like, was in multiple alliances. Like, mm-hmm. he had the alliance with Tormenta. He made a cross-tribe alliance with Brady and Tafiti.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he also found an idol. I don't know. These other people are all always finding idols. I guess, like, the only difference is, like, I mean, Ben's alliance ended up losing to Will's alliance. But also, like, I feel like Ben was also probably more respected by the people in the game. I don't know. They're both seems pretty messy, I guess, pretty chaotic. But I agree with you that Ben probably has like a better chance of winning.
Yeah, I feel like Ben is a slightly more trustworthy ally, Ben is a more trustworthy ally to have in the game.
Yeah.
Whereas Kevin, you never know if he's going to throw you under the bus or not.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, I mean, Ben betrayed Will, but he would never have betrayed Brady. And like,
yeah, like he had people that he was like ride or dies with.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if Kevin really had as much.
Yeah. I mean, he had Bailey, but even Bailey couldn't fully trust him.
Exactly. Yeah.
A wild card.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do think that the Will move was just such a bad move that.
Yeah.
As much as it was great TV and like, you know, it was Shakespearean. It was a perfect move for TV, a perfect Kevin move for what Kevin wanted to do for his character, but just as a survivor move.
Exactly.
It was pretty bad. So. All right. Below three, season three, Ben. We have Kevin in fourth place. Then we have season three, Ben. Season four, Eliza. And then in first place, season one, Matthew.
Wow.
And that is. That's episode 9.
Amazing.
So one last thing is Doc's got to speak.
Oh, yeah. What's the question this week?
So once again, hearing from Bree. Bree, she basically said that there's, and I think I've seen this too, there's been like some questions about Bree's edit, whether like, oh, we're just not getting like a ton of Bree content, like what's going on with that, why are we not hearing more from Bree? So Bree decided that she wanted to speak on this, and I'll play the recording for that.
So I keep seeing this pop up like in various places, and Ian has addressed it a few times in the after show, but I figure I could also address it. But basically, I'm not being unedited. I just simply didn't give them enough content, and it wasn't like me beefing with them. At this point, I already like spent time on production, and I was very aware of the fact that like what was taking season one and season two so long to like come out was the fact that there was just so much footage for the people to like go through and storyboard and all that jazz. And so like I went back in my Google folder last night just to like check, because Ian I believe Ian when he was like Bree doesn't have content. So I was like, oh, like, let me check. And I really, I mean, first of all, like, y'all saw, I did not go to tribal council barely in the pre-merge. So, like, I was only giving them, like, a confessional a week. And, like, even, like, sometimes I'd, like, apologize at the end if it was, like, 30 minutes. I'd be like, I'm sorry, this is so long. Like, I really just felt, like, bad that I was, like, giving them too much shit to, like, watch. And in hindsight, I really shouldn't have cared about that. I should have just filmed as much as I wanted to. But, yeah. And then, like, in the, like, after the merge, I did probably up it to, like, twice a week. Like, I wasn't really doing much filming. I did a lot of filming for, like, my meetings. But, yeah, like, confessional-wise, I unfortunately did not give them that much content. I feel bad about it now, because now I'm realizing how much everyone else was filming. But yeah, I have not been under-edited. I simply just did not give them content. And that's on me. I'll take accountability. It is what it is.
That makes sense. There is a lot of footage to go through.
Yeah, definitely.
So I understand wanting to not submit as much fluff.
Bree is just she's just too nice. She's just so nice.
She just has Ian's best interests at heart.
Yep, exactly. There you go. That's our dog's gotta speak for the week.
Well, next time Jack can hopefully join us.
Yeah.
Because
see if he gets on Leia's list.
Exactly. He'll have to network a little bit, and then maybe he'll be able to join next week.
Exactly. Yeah. We'll see you next week. Again, more great Survivor Michigan coming at you.
On Thursday.
Yes, you're right. Thursday. Man, not tomorrow, not Wednesday. It's on Thursday because of CBS is starting back up.
Yes. Are you going to watch?
Yeah, I'm going to watch. I don't know if I'll watch it live, but you know that I'm always going to watch the new season Survivor. I have to.
Yeah. Got a draft.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Who do you have?
Haven't drafted yet. We draft before.
Okay.
Like right before the episode.
Right on. Well, hopefully your people will survive the draft. Hopefully people you draft will survive the premiere. And then hopefully your fan favorites will survive episode 10. But you got to tune in on Thursday to see. So, on that note, we will see you guys later.
Bye.